The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon. Good to be with you today. I'm glad you've tuned in today with me. You know, I've always enjoyed teaching the Word of God, and one of my greatest joys is watching the light go on in people's heads when they see a revelation, when they understand something of God's Word that suddenly come to mind. And, you know, the kingdom of God says it's like a scribe who brings forth the new and the old, and it's important for us to know that, you know, that what is the new and the old? It's not talking about old and New Testament. It's talking about what that is established and what that is that God reveals. And so it's always exciting to try and see a revelation from God in His Word. Now, I do emphasize in His Word. It just doesn't mean any revelation. It has to be according to His Word and fit according to His Word and be judged according to His Word. So these things are important, but that's the kingdom of God. That's why I always say to people, you know you're operating in the kingdom of God when you're having conversations about God and His Word together, and the people are gathered together, and they're always interested. But when you're in a place where you start talking about the Word of God and people walk away and they're not interested, they are certainly not part of the kingdom, because kingdom people want to hear what God has to say. They want to hear what God's Word has to say. And we do know that, you know, even though the Bible says it's not for private interpretation, we do know that God reveals things to people. Like when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the thing I asked for was wisdom by myself. It's an interesting story. You know, I was all by myself, and I just got saved a few weeks before, and I started reading about the Holy Spirit, so I started asking God, I want these gifts, Lord God, that you're talking about here in Corinthians. I want these gifts. And so I particularly want wisdom, Lord God. So how can I teach people about your word without having wisdom? So I raised my hand to the air and asked God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. Almost immediately, I felt a change come upon me. Almost immediately, I felt something ready to explode inside me that I had to open my mouth and talk. And next thing I know, I was talking in tongues like I had been doing it for years and years and years, and it was the first time I ever did it. And so as far as the wisdom part, I had no idea whether, you know, what God was going to do there, whether He was even going to honor my request to give me wisdom. But as the years went by, many people have been telling me, how do you see this stuff? How do you know this stuff? How did you understand that? Then I began to realize that God did give me wisdom according to His word, and I really appreciate that what God did. You know, it says if you want something, ask, and I asked for it, and I believe I had actually got it from the Lord. So wisdom is an important thing. Whenever I sit together in a congregation with other people and we're having biblical talk, it's things come up. And you're always welcome to come to my congregation. People say, oh, you got to be Jewish to go there. No, you don't. You just got to be willing to learn about God's Word. That's all you got to be willing to do. So you can come to our congregation anytime that we're open. And one thing I really like to do is sit around and talk to things about God. Every so often, I will do what we call a stump the rabbi. I will do a service where the people ask me questions, and I spend the entire service just answering questions, because people want to know. People want to know, you know, what happens to us when we die? What's the step process? What happens here? What happens there? most of that stuff is explained in the Bible, and so I am more than happy to explain it to the people. So this is awesome. You know, when you see people, they go through a Stump the Rabbi session like that, and they're like, wow, I got a lot of these questions answered. Things start to come together like a puzzle. And that's really what it is. It's like putting a puzzle together. And what happens is when you get the wrong piece and you try to force it into the puzzle because it looks close, pretty soon the puzzle doesn't look right. So you have to be careful about where you put the pieces of the puzzle. They got to fit and it's got to tell the story and the puzzle's got to look right. And so getting the right pieces in the right place is extremely important. And unfortunately, so many teachers are out there have pounded pieces of the puzzle in the wrong spot and it doesn't look right. And so we got to get all these things correct and be able to rightly divide the word of truth, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says. We are workmen. We studied to show ourselves approved, to rightly divide the word of God, to rightly understand the word of God. And I'm big on that. You know, I'm big on the Holy Spirit too, but I'm really big on the word of God because that's our foundation. That's what we need to be able to be secure in what we believe and what we know, the word of God. So if you're not reading the Bible, you are missing out. If you're not doing it almost, you should be doing it daily, but if you're not, you're really messing up. You know, in the Bible, it talks about there has to be an evening and morning sacrifice. And so sacrifices during the days of the temple, there were sacrifices in the morning and sacrifices in the evening. How does that translate to us today with the Lord today? That means that you got to give yourself unto the Lord in the morning and give yourself to the Lord in the evening. So at least twice a day, you should be mindful of God, either in prayer or in study, or you're contemplating or meditating upon him. And this is very important. Twice a day, morning and evening, you should do this to be in right standing with the Lord at all times and be able to learn to be an overcomer like the seven churches of Revelation writings tell us, to be overcomers. And then you'll see a new light on the world. You see a new light in your life. You begin to see how much things come together. You know, being a rabbi pastor, I get people talking to me all the time, and I hear all kinds of crazy things, you know, that's going on in people's lives. And sometimes when I get done, I just kind of shake my head, going, "How are people surviving? How are they getting away with this? How do they live?" You know, because some things, I guess, I just been living in a sheltered life. But it's not really sheltered. I have a very rough childhood. I had a very rough split family. I had a very hard time of seeing the fighting going on in my family and everything else. And yet, somehow or another, God has kept me sane through all of this and with understanding. And I know it's his word. I know it's his Holy Spirit. And that's the answer for everybody. And unfortunately, there's consequences. You know, we might be saved, and God took all of our sins away. Yeshua took all of our sins away, but that does not mean you've not escaped the consequences of it. You know, the analogy I use there is, if you go rob a bank, and you get caught and you get arrested, you stand before a judge, and you tell that judge, "Well, God forgives me." That judge is going to look at you and says, "Well, that's great, but I don't." And he sentenced you to jail. There's consequences to our wickedness. There's consequences to our sins. And besides that, in the kingdom of God, you know, you could lose rewards. You can lose positions in the kingdom of God. You just can't say, "I am saved and I'm not worried about anything else." There are consequences to your actions. We are called to righteous deeds, and we should do righteous deeds. Deeds do you no good before you're saved, but once you are saved, you are called to righteous deeds. Those are important things. All this stuff is written down in our book of works all the time. And so that will be presented one day. Like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you have a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. What do you build upon that foundation? Some people build upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. Doesn't mean real gold, real silver, real precious stones. It means the things that are precious in God's eyes. And then others build upon that foundation wood, hay, and stubble. Then you stand before the bema seat of the Messiah, and fire will come out, and it will burn up your works right before you. And that which is not of God will be burnt up. But it also goes to say that if all your works are burned up because you did no righteous deeds, then yet you shall be saved because you have the foundation. But we don't want to stop there. Paul says, run the race, seek the mark of the high calling. You want to build up your righteous works. You want to do things that's pleasing the sight of God at all times. You want to do these things so you have crowns and thrones and garments of light. Did you know that garments of light is one of the rewards we get from God? And how bright you shine could be like the sun or the stars, the luminaries, or it could be like a dim light bulb. How are you going to shine? Are you going to be a dim light bulb, or are you going to shine like the sun? These things are important to understand. And once you die, it's settled what your rewards are going to be, if you even have rewards. So once you die, it's too late. Now it's set for judgment at that point. That's scripture. So don't think, we're not talking about equity here. We're not talking about everything being the same. If anything's the same at the foot of the cross, it could be considered the same far as salvation. But far as the kingdom is concerned, it's not equity. You earn those things in the kingdom. This is why it says in Matthew 5 that those who keep the least of my commandments will be considered the least in the kingdom of heaven. But those who keep the greater commandments and do them will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. So there is a hierarchy in the kingdom of heaven. There is rewards in the kingdom of heaven and positions in the kingdom of heaven. And people don't understand that. They just seem to think all I need is salvation. They just say, I believe, and it's all set and done. That might keep you out of the fires of hell. It might even keep you out of the lake of fire. But there's a lot more to a relationship with God than those things. Because you have to look at the parables. The parables, when Yeshua said the kingdom of God is like. All right, so he's telling you what the kingdom is like. Almost all the parables that Yeshua taught are action-oriented parables and not faith parables. They are action-oriented parables. That's what he's trying to tell you. The kingdom of God is action-oriented. Salvation is faith and grace-oriented. So that's two different things. But once you are saved, then you do the works of the kingdom. They're action-oriented. What are we doing? What are we doing to be action-oriented in the kingdom today? And so these things are important. The parable of the 10 virgins is a classic case. 5 virgins were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 virgins entered the kingdom of God, 5 were left out, and the door was shut on them. And then they knocked on the door, and Yeshua answered and says, go away, I do not know you. It didn't mean he did not know you, who you were. It just mean that he did not have an intimate relationship with you. And so these are important things to understand, that word know is intimate. When I say know God, it's not meaning have a head knowledge of God. It means to know him deep into the marrows of your bone and deep recesses of your mind. It means to get a hold of God completely and know him as a husband would know his bride. These kind of things. And so, folks, this is not, we're not games we're playing anymore. We've never been playing games, but some people treat it as a game. They say, well, okay, I got myself covered. I believe in Jesus. Now go on and do what I want to do. Wrong. Very wrong indeed. Yeah, you may not lose your salvation because it's pretty hard to do that unless you deny Yeshua altogether. But far as kingdom-related items, there's a requirement for you to do these things. This is why Yeshua said to the crowd, anyone who gives a glass of water to one of these my disciples in no way will lose his rewards. That reward about giving the glass of water. So just a glass of water to someone who's thirsty is written down in your book of works. All of us have book of works. And when the judgment seat of the Messiah comes, he will burn up the bad works that are in there. The wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. But the gold, silver, and precious stones will remain for rewards. And it's so important to understand that, because everything is written down. You can't hide from God. Nothing can be hidden from God. All will be revealed, it said. And you're going to get your rewards. If you make it into the kingdom, then, yeah, there's a difference between salvation and kingdom, folks. I won't go into that today, but there's a huge difference there. But if you go into the kingdom and your throne and your crown and your jewels and your crown, and you'll have a seat with Yeshua himself and rule the nations with a rod of iron, this is what it tells you in the book of Revelation with the seven churches of Revelation. This is some of the honor because you become an overcomer. If you're an overcomer, God will give you great honor. So we need to get off our hind ends and start working for God and being strong in God and being obedient to him. People ask me, what's a righteous deed? What's a righteous deed? Well, I shouldn't have to tell you that, but if you want to, find out a good way to identify it. The two greatest commandments that Yeshua talked about, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And so that would be one of them. The other one is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If what you do falls under either one of those commandments, you are doing a righteous deed. If they fall outside of that, then you could be dreaming up your own works, your own ideas of what to follow. And that's, you don't want that. You want to follow what God says. He wants us to follow. And so you are certainly always invited to come to our congregation at all times. We're a lively bunch. We make a lot of noise. It's exciting. And you're welcome to come. Lately, we've been talking about the spring Moedim. What is a Moedim? A Moedim means, Moed means appointment of God. Moedim means plural of that, plural appointments. And I recently talked about Passover. And we've just gone past the Passover season, but it's important that you celebrate that Passover and understand it and how it works and all these kind of things. But right now, we're getting ready to move it. I'm going to get ready to talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's another Moedim. So Moedims are all these appointments of God, and particularly in Leviticus 23, where God is going to do a major thing in his appointments. For instance, Jesus came and died on Passover. In a 24-hour period, you remember the day starts, as I've said many times, the day starts in the evening. Biblical day starts in the evening when the sun goes down. That in that 24-hour period, Yeshua, had his last supper with his disciples. He went in the garden and prayed. He was arrested in the garden. He had his trial. And he was crucified, and he died all within 24 hours before the sun went down the next day. And so all that happened on Passover. Unleavened bread. He was buried on unleavened bread. The barley first fruits. He rose from the dead on the barley first fruits on that Sunday. And then you get into the wheat first fruits, where the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. These are all predicted in Leviticus 23, Moedims. And then, of course, then you'll have Yom Teruah, the Day of Shouting, or Feast of Trumpets, some people call it, in the fall. Then Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Then you have Tabernacles. They all have major fulfillments. We're waiting for the day for the major fulfillments of the fall Moedim to come and go. And they're not far away. When I wrote that book, The Signs and Times of the Coming of the Messiah, it's amazing things you'll learn in it about all the clues in the Bible that talk about when he's going to come back. Concepts of the three-day concepts, context of the six-day concept, the 120th Jubilee concept, 6,000 years, all these things the Bible talks about. It's all planned. It's all set right out before us. I just put it all together so we could see it, that we are, in fact, in the last days. I always tell my congregation, the end is not near. The end is here. And you have to understand that the end is here, folks. All you got to do is watch the news. When I go either Africa or India or other congregations, wherever I go, one of the questions I ask all the time is, how many of you feel we're in the last days? Every hand goes up. Why does every hand go up? Because they feel it in their spirit. God will do nothing except you reveal it to his prophets. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, you are also a prophet. So God is speaking to your heart that the end is coming, and he's coming back soon. And so it never fails to watch all these hands rise up. And the funny thing about it is I say, why did you raise your hand? And then they kind of all look at me like, I don't know. And I said, well, I'll tell you why. Because God's Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit that you, in fact, are indeed a child of the Son of God. And so he's revealing these things to you. And while we're revealing these things to you, you know, you begin to sense that, hey, we're knocking at the last days. Then you see all the other clues, all the nations that are lining up. You know, Psalms 83, all the nations that attack Israel in Psalms 83 in the last days, they exist today and they're all enemies of Israel, all of them. It even goes, you know, even so much you could break it down where it talks about Gaza. Gaza is where the radical Palestinians are today, you know. And, you know, Gaza used to be part of Israel. Now I was talking about, but in Psalms 83, you see the land of Gaza, enemy of Israel. You see southern Lebanon, enemies of Israel, where the Hezbollah guerrillas are. And so all the nations are lined up properly today. You go into Ezekiel 36 through 39, you hear, see all the nations are going to be attacking Israel in the Gog-Magog war. They all exist today. And they're all Muslim nations. Every one of them are Muslim nations. They're Muslim nations, and they are enemies of Israel. How in the world, over 3,000 years ago when these prophecies were given, would they know that? Except if it was not by God himself. So God predicted all these things in Psalms 83 and those last few chapters of Ezekiel that we are walking in the last days. And far as in the land of Israel today, what's going on there? You know, you see where they've got some red heifers. They're watching very carefully to see if all the hairs stay red. Excuse me. And that's very significant because they will, if they sacrifice a red heifer and they mix it with the water of the pools of Siloam, that sprinkle that water over that land, over the Temple Mount and all that, it just cleanses it from defilement of death. Now, the rabbi said when the 10th red heifer comes, so will the Messiah. But we also understand that Yeshua was the 10th red heifer. He was the 10th red heifer. That when you have him, you defeat the defilement of death. And a lot of people don't realize that. But nonetheless, we're looking for the 10th red heifer to physically cleanse the land and the land of Israel. And so, I don't know if you've seen, watching the news, whatever. They're excavating the pool of Siloam. You know, Siloam was like an Olympic size swimming pool. And they're excavating it, and they're going to build it up. And so these are all signs of things coming down the pike real quick here. So interesting. I love it. I love to see all these signs and wonders that are taking place. But we are indeed in the last days. We are indeed, you know, coming down the end of the pike here. 120th Jubilee, 6,000 years since Adam. 120, 12 means government. 120 means government with divine appointment. Who sets up a government on the earth on the 120th Jubilee? But Yeshua, Jesus himself, sets up a government that knows no end. That's what it's talking about. And some of the rabbis say we have started the 120th Jubilee, which are 50-year increments. So we're in that 50-year increment right now. Just started it. So these things are coming, and they're coming fast, and oh man, I wish there was more I could say and do about it, but these things are upon us really fast. So look at the Word of God, study the Word of God, tell somebody about it. Even if they look at you cross-eyed, it doesn't matter. Tell them. It's important. Let God do the salvation work. We got to do the footwork. We got to tell people about God. We got to tell them the end is coming real quick. So it's important for all of us to get going on this stuff, you know, and because there are rewards, there will be acknowledgments in the kingdom of God. And I'm like Paul. I want to see all of you make the mark of the high calling. I want to see all of you run the race and finish the race that Paul talked about. And we all want to be a pillar in the house of our God. It talks about in the churches of Revelation. When you overcome, you don't overcome, he doesn't make you a pillar in his house. So these things are good to know. And I hope that I cleared some things up in your mind about how all these things work. So bless the Lord. We finished this session for this week. So I hope I was able to touch you your heart a little bit about, you know, things with God. So we will talk to you next week, and we'll continue on.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.